Miss Bridge.
Hannah.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
We'll start in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Still early.
Upper Marion, and we were in a bar, and he talking to his bartender, and the bartender said, there's three Democrats in this bar, your brother, me, and you. Upper Marion is an old big one.
Right.
It's got paper, infused sun oil.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think much about Democrats. But he was a Democratic committee man. And it's a lot bigger now than he was. Yeah. It's no more just me, the bartender, and my brother. The only one in our school, and then we came around to which was the best in the room. People came from all of them, who had an IQ level.
Time to start. Anna, we're going to start.
Okay.
We're starting with section 34, verse 147. L'shem yichud kudsha barichu ishkinte bit chilu urchi mood, chilu, chilu urchi mood. Le'achta Hashem yudhe bavavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei adenu kananei aleinu ma'asei adenu kananeihu. Vayomer Elohim. Yehi or Vayehi or Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Mikan Diakaran Kudsha Bariku Vehane Natiyan Veshatelon Mashma Dikti Yehi Rabbi Yehuda Omer Or Shebek Shech Va Haya Tanan Mashma Dikti Vayehi Or Vahaya La Kiti Ela Vayehi Vikadi Ais Takal Kudsha Barichu Veinun Darin Tirashi Ayayo Ganez Leia with Tzadikayayo. Hahidiktiv or Zarua with Tzadik U Yishreilev. Simcha Behaitmar Vayomer Elokin Yehi or Hahidiktiv Mi Heir Mi Mizrach with Gomer. And Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. Rabbi Yitzhak said that we learn from these words that the Holy One, blessed be He, uprooted these plants and replanted them elsewhere. Hence the expression, there was. Rabbi Yehuda said that this implies that light had already existed. This is indicated in there was. It was not written, there became light, but there was light. And when the Holy One, blessed be He, viewed the generations of the wicked, who were not worthy of the light, He stored it for the righteous. This is mentioned in the verse, light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for those upright in their hearts. Thus it was written, and Elohim said, let there be light, as is written, who arose righteousness from the east? Question questions, comments, and thoughts.
The light is not the moon and the stars.
We know
it's
that.
Self-awareness.
Yes. Yes. What Jeanette said was that the light is self-awareness. It's a metaphor for self-awareness. And I have said that it's the true meaning of light is fulfillment. Fulfillment of any lack. But that's not really what expressed here. Do you want to say something, Hannah?
Well, yes. Seeing that it's the light and the scripture reference is given as Brayshoot 1:3, that lets us know the sun and the moon hadn't been created yet.
Correct.
So this is a big hint that this is the primordial light, what we call the organus. That we specially link to the holidays, and especially with Hanukkah. And I can see that when Rabbi Yitzhak said he uprooted these plants, he's using plants to be a metaphor for the light, because Hashem created the light, the primordial light, and then he took it up or replanted it to save for the righteous in the world to come, but he allows some of it to come down at certain times during the year. And he did that because he saw having to create free will and the negative system so that we would have free will. He hid it because of the wicked. What I don't understand is that last verse, he raised up one from the yeast. I don't see how that fits there. That doesn't ring a bell to me, so.
Well, it's the verse from Isaiah, chapter 41. And he's comparing it, and Elohim said, let there be light, as is written, who arose righteousness from the east. Righteousness is a code word for Malchut. And the east is a code word, and the east is a code word for chesed, because the sun rises in the east. So he's relating these two verses to the general idea of light.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the important aspect is what's being written here is because people don't normally think in terms of light already existed. They don't raise the question which he is raising and answering. The verse is, let there be light, and it should have said, and there became light. He should have created light. But no, he didn't create light, and there was light. He changed the light. And this brings in what the Kabbalists teach, that there was only one thing created. And that creation was Yesh Mayin, something from nothing. Because there is no receiving in the light. There's no receiving in the Creator. But what was created was a vessel to receive the light, to reveal the light. That's what this verse is hinting at. Verse 148. Vayar Elohim et haor ki tov mayra'a amar rabbi chiyayo bid kamaran chama v'ovadayhu tirashiyayayo. Veganes Leia Rabbi Abba Amar Veyar Elohim et Haor Kito Lignos Oto Veyar Elohim et Haor Desalek Nechorea Mit Yafe Alma Ad Siafe Alma Viki Tov Huli Agnaza Leia Dila Yechenun Mineya Chayave Alma. And Elohim saw the light that it was good. What did he see? Rabbi Chaya said that this implies that he foresaw the actions of the wicked and stored the light, as we said before. Rabbi Abba disagrees and says, and Elohim saw the light that it was good to store it away. That is, he did not look at the actions of the wicked, but saw the magnificence of the light itself, and decided that it was good for it to be concealed and not revealed to the world. And Elohim saw the light, and he saw its radiance beaming from one end of the world to the other. And he saw that it was better to store it, so that sinners might not benefit from it.
So concealed to be revealed. And even though it's concealed, we can understand it and open our doors to let it in.
Well, the important thing to realize is that the light is not the creator. The light is an extension of the creator. The creator transplanted, so to speak, the light to be the endless world where there's constant fulfillment. The creator created darkness, which is the vessel, which is the desire to receive. And he then transplanted the light from somewhere to be the fulfillment of that desire to receive. That's what this verse is saying, but it's also saying there's three possibilities in how to interpret the word saw. And Elohim saw the light that it was good. And the question is, what did he see? And there's three possibilities that he saw. He saw that the light itself was so special that it needed to be concealed. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that he saw the future, knowing the future, and saw that with all the negative actions, that the light would have been abused and would not have been used properly. And so he concealed it from the sinners. That's the second possibility. And the third possibility is that he saw that there was this process that had to be gone through before the light could be utilized properly. And so he concealed it to draw the spiritual growth of the vessel so that it can become the tzaddikim.
Would you repeat the third one again, the third reason?
The third reason is that he saw I'll read it. He saw its radiance beaming from one end of the world to the other, and he saw that it was better to store it so that it would be available to those who worked at becoming righteous. What's the reward for working? Ultimately, every human being will become a child of Israel, as we've discussed, and every child of Israel will continue to grow until they become righteous. So what's the reward for that effort? Because there are a lot of people lying on the beaches and going through life without any spiritual growth and being attracted to the physicality. So what's the reward for working and being abused by the rest of the world? The reward is that light, that fulfillment. So it had to be restored away so that there would be a reward for the righteous. Not that those sinners would have abused it, because the light doesn't care what happens to it. It doesn't have an ego in that context. But these three possibilities of vision applies all the time when we have the Parasha of Re'eh, which is about sight, when we have the Parasha of Chazino, when we have sight, we're all talking about these three possibilities. And it becomes, this is the human perspective. Do you come from the right column, the sharing column? Do you come from the receiving column, the left column? Or are you in balance in the center column? That's what this verse is saying.
But the principle of the universe must interpret the universe. That interpretation is right.
No. First off, the assumption is what you said was that the principle of the universe, which is the light, must interpret the light. No, it doesn't. There does not have to be an interpretation. It's really a joke. If you take a human being who writes a novel, and then you take a critic who interprets his novel, it doesn't have to be interpreted. He wrote the novel. Whatever he meant, he meant. It doesn't matter what he meant. It doesn't matter to him that he meant it. What matters to him is that it actually got written. The light has no need to be interpreted. Only man has the need to interpret it, because that interpretation causes him to change himself, to grow spiritually. And here we are being shown three different interpretations of what is this idea of the light. Because we don't see the light. We're not capable of seeing the light yet. That's why it's been concealed. And as Hannah said, at certain times of the year, a little bit is let out to give us a taste, to remind us of what it is we're working for. Should I go on?
Well, I like to think of, of Zot Hanukkah. That's where we...
Yes, that is the whole idea of Hanukkah. That's why it's why the holiday. Why isn't the Hanukkah written in the Torah? It's a holiday. The Hanukkah and Purim, which are related holidays, they don't have. They're not written in the Torah. They're rabbinic descriptions. They're rabbinic statements. These are holidays for us to do. They're part of the 620 mitzvot. But it's not in the Torah. Yes, it is in the Torah in the concealed way. Because
I was getting ready to say that.
It's in a concealed way, but it's not.
Right.
It's not revealed until human beings reached a spiritual level where they would say, "No, I'm not going to be controlled by the Greek Syrians," and they resisted against all odds. They chose to follow the mitzvot of the Torah, even upon the pain of death, the ultimate possibility of death. Well, that's really the ultimate choice of spirituality. That's Kiddush Hashem, for the holiness, for the sake of heaven, for the sake of Hashem. He does not. That you're confusing things, and yes, you're right. That's not the point. The point here is, why is the light not available to us in my life today? And the answer is, it is. But you have to learn how to receive it. And in order to give you a taste of that, it has been concealed and only brought out at certain times of the year. Should I go on to verse 149?
Yes, I think so.
Amar Rabbi Shimon V'yar Elokim Et Haor Ki Ito Tila Yishtakach Be'ya Ritcha Ketiv Haka Ki Ito Uktiv Hatam Ki Ito Be'ene Hashem Levarech Et Yisrael Besofa Dikra Vayavdel Elokim Bein Haor Bein Hachoshech Ugin Kach La Ishtekach Beya Ritcha Viaf Algal Teshitef Lon Kudsha Berichu Bachada. Rabbi Shimon said, and Elohim saw the light that it was good. This means that he decided that no anger or judgment would be found in it. Similarly, it is said in connection to Bilam that it was good in the eyes of Hashem to bless Israel, so that a curse will not befall Israel. This is proven by the end of the verse, and Elohim separated the light from the darkness to prevent wrath and judgment. And even though the Holy One, blessed be He, afterward united light and darkness as one, nevertheless, there was no further conflict and anger. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I was reminded of the example you gave us in one of the basic classes about how we can have a dark room and turn on the light, and the dark really didn't disappear. Just the light entered in. And you can probably tell it better than I can.
Well, the metaphor that I use in those classes and all throughout is to ask the question, you walk into a dark room. Darkness is an energy. You turn on the light, where did the darkness go? We know it didn't disappear, and you know it didn't get destroyed, because when you turn off the light, the darkness comes back. So this is this whole idea. It was good in the eyes of Hashem to bless Israel. But what is the purpose of lights? For me, my interpretation, but it's my interpretation, you have to decide for yourselves, the light is the fulfillment of the lacks. And Hashem put the light away so that you could earn the removal of bread of shame. Hashem put the light away so that that lack would cause you to move. That lack would cause you to question. That lack would cause you to grow to the spirit, towards spirituality, which is the process of removing bread of shame. That's what the Kabbalists teach, and that's coming from this verse. Hashem decided the light could have judgment in it. except Hashem has decided that there would be no anger, there would be no judgment found in the light. The light doesn't judge us. Hashem doesn't judge us. You want to go to the negative side? Here's your energy. You want to go to the positive side? Here's your energy. You want to not move and stay in your comfort zone? Here's the energy. There's no judgment. There's no determination. This is what this verse is telling us. There is no other. So what are we? A reflection of him. Yes, but I'm of the opinion that created us for the purpose of building a friend, and that's the ultimate goal, in my opinion. But again, you always have to question. My opinion is what's truth for me. You have to decide what's truth for you. Verse 150. Why? You're projecting a human need, a human desire onto God, and it's not there. He doesn't need to understand himself. He doesn't have a desire to understand himself. He applies himself. First off, do you have to define the difference between the light and the creator? And until you've done that, you don't go anywhere, because the light is an extension of the creator, but it's not the creator itself. Yes, it is a creation, but to us, it is not a creation, it is the creator. And that shows we're still in a limited state. Verse 150.
And that was the first to go, my practitioner. So she was sick. She was
sick. Can we do this after the class? Because I want to finish this section. Thank you. Tachatzei nehiru ila alemecheve naher hayor umehahu nehiru chadu lekola beyavehu yamina leitatra gulfo gelifin Bachadeya Vehaitmar Ketiv Marav Tucha Asher Tzafanta Lirecha Palta Lachosim Bach Marav Tucha Daor Kadmaa Diganes Kucha Berichu L'reecha l'atzadikim l'inun d'chalei pata'a ki ta'amara. Come and see. The supernal radiance, Bina, should continue to radiate, and through its radiance it should bring gladness to all. This is the position of the right, which was crowned with the right to regulate laws of the left. It is written, how great is your goodness, which you have laid upon those who fear you, and with which you have wrought for they who trust in you. How great is your goodness alludes to the primordial light that the Holy One, blessed be he, stored away. They who fear you alludes to the righteous who fear sins. And as we said, only they should enjoy the light. Questions, comments, thoughts?
However, the Lord gave us guidance and said, don't fear anything, but send the body and the soul. Nothing else to do.
The word sin is a moral value. There is no moral value in the Torah at its deepest levels. They are not moral values. They're energy. They're veiled in a story of morality that churches and religions have adopted. But in reality, it's all about energy. It's all about the Sefirot, which are energy, consciousness. And to stay in the idea of morality, you create a mechanism of judgment. What is moral? Right now, you have people who are suicide bombers. The majority of the world looks at that from a horror standpoint of morality. It's wrong to kill yourself.
And other people.
And it's wrong to kill yourself, and it's wrong to kill other people. But that's morality. What it's really saying is, I created this vessel, this person. This person has a purpose, and when you kill him, that energy has nowhere to fulfill, nowhere to go. That's not morality. That's about energy transference. Hannah, do you want to say anything before we complete our session? Because this is the end of the section.
I was pleased to see that Psalms 31:20, how great is your goodness. We thought of Hashem's goodness as mercy and faithfulness, but to also include the primordial light. I hadn't thought of it like that before. So that was a little nugget for me today.
Well, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Would anybody else on the conference call care to share any thoughts? You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Next classes, there'll be one at 6 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock. Of course, I'm not sure they'll go off because of the debate, so we'll see. Shalom.
Shalom, thank you.